Then they take the land.
And
that's about one-tenth of our whole land holdings that we're subdividing up there. I think we've got 160 lots.
200 lots.
Yeah.
Well, are these lots just for people to come up and build a fishing cabin on, or would they build a house and stay there year-round?
Well, these are, we're selling kind of recreational lots up there, and according to the covenants, we don't want anybody to throw up a little shack up there, because we wanted them to keep the whole area as natural as possible, and we're not asking for any, we want even the roofing to blend in with the area, because we don't need any tin roofs that could shine out of the area where it can be spotted, because
So you the customers though would likely be people from Anchorage, that kind of thing.
Well, it can be from anywhere, just as long as you got the money.
I see.
We have a covenant on the sale, though, that they have to follow. They cannot build. We are also working with the National Park Service that we have a setback from the water frontage.
Mm-hmm.
They had to be back so far from the lake and different kind of the sewers and the buildings.
Mm-hmm. So you've got a lot of attractive land then, I gather.
Well, it's one of the probably the better part of the state of Alaska and Lake Clark area, and it's a really good region. We really want to develop it in kind of by fisheries too, because you know if we do subdivide too much land, well, then we're gonna probably pollute the water if people are not very careful. And Bristol Bay is the biggest salmon spawning ground of the world, and Lake Clark and Liam Lake is the rearing place for salmon for Bristol Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's polluted and destroyed, then we destroy another resource. And people are really kind of really don't want to, we don't want to do it, and we're talking about hydros and people are talking about mining, and we don't want all this either, but development, once you start development, well, it keeps on growing. It's like a cancer, can't stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Any other question?
No, that's thank you very much. That kind of gives me an idea about the Nundalton Corporation's activities.
Yeah, well, there's, like I said, like all, I think all the corporations in the state of Alaska, everybody wants to start some kind of business, but every time you start a business where somebody comes in and sweet talking to something you want to do, and which wouldn't really work for you, but it'll work to their advantage, just whoever won that. Mm-hmm. Propose it to you, and that's what happens, I think. And right now we have a lot of these young kids going to school, and I'm sure they're want to go have something for their future, so they're going to be going to different businesses too, and that's what they're training for. That's the reason I would like to see the Land Claim Settlement Act extended either 20 or 50 years. And give the younger generation, the older people, more time to think it over, what they want to do. Because like I said, I think 15 years already passed, and people still don't realize what's happening yet.
Mm-hmm.
And for myself, I've been with the corporation president for going on 5 years now, and I'm still learning. And every day is a learning process, and every day you're learning something new that you got to do or follow, or you've got to meet all requirements, you've got to meet different things that you're required to do. It's not an easy job to be a president of a corporation and try to keep the people together and everybody else happy, and which you can do. It's a very tough job.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
It's pretty tough, and yet have your full board support and also your shareholders. And if you don't ask questions, or if you don't tell you're doing something wrong, well, you think you're doing something okay, but if you don't hear anything from your shareholders, way, you don't know what's happening. You don't know if they're satisfied or dissatisfied. Mm-hmm. That's why I say, anytime you hold a meeting, you got to speak up at meetings, because that's where everything's recorded at meetings. You can talk till you get blue in the face out in the villages. It won't do any good. You got to have an official meeting. That's where you take action. Even on a hearing, like here, you're going to come up and testify. Even if you think you can say something wrong, it doesn't matter. Just speak your mind.
Thanks. For some of you, it may be easier to speak while you're seated, right where you are. So Mary's got this microphone, maybe if you could just go along there and see if there's some of the folks down this way want to...
The way I feel, people should not sell their stock or shares, because if they sell to non-natives, non-natives will come into the corporation and they will have say to things that belong to the natives. What feelings about new natives? My feelings about new natives who were born after 1971, they should be in our corporation because they are natives too, and they will be left out. They are our future generations.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
'91 is a big issue, and getting everybody excited about it, you know. On a meeting like this, when a lot of us people isn't notified about what the issue is on the meeting, you know, it's kind of hard to speak up. Like myself right now, I don't know what I'm talking about. I know 1991 is coming up, and it's 6 years away, and I think we need more meetings on this issue, myself. You know, that's all I have to say on this issue here.
I was just going to ask how you felt about some of the things that had been stated, like including the people born after 1971, or protection of the land.
I think they should be entitled to some of that, you know. I feel that the kids that were born after 1971 are left out, and they're Alaskan natives. I feel they should be entitled to some of our share. Whether it cuts our benefits down or not, I think it's fine. This is my feeling. I know other people have their own feelings about this 1991 issue and the children that are born after 1991 are being left out. I have three of my own that are being left out. I have four that are in the corporation and have stock, you know. So I have three that are left out. And I feel they should have a share of our stock, even if it did cut our percentages down on our whatever you call dividend checks, whatever we get every annually. That's quite right with me.
Are you from here?
I'm a native from Nondalton. I belong to our corporation. My name is Alex Trifon.
And what about with the way the corporation has been going and what Wesley Baluta talked about?
I have never been too much in touch with the corporation. I've lived out of Nondalton area for 13 years, and I'm just moving back into the area again, and I'm living in O'Halen. This is my home now. I'm buying a house down here. I'm not too familiar with the issue yet, you know. I'm learning, like Bluda said, you know, we're all learning. And
yeah. Where are you moving back from?
From Anchorage. I lived in Anchorage for 13 years.
Mm-hmm. What made you move back?
I don't know, city's getting too big.
Okay. Do you have any views on the way that land would be held? I mean, do you want to keep the land within Native ownership or?
You're talking about Native control? I read some issues on that too, you know. Yeah, you know, it's easy to say have Native control, but I think us Natives should be more educated on this issue, you know? I mean, you know, somebody that knows about Native Land Claim Act, you know, I don't know nothing about that. I just hear it on TV and go to some of these conventions that they have in Anchorage, you know. I don't really pay that much attention, but I'm starting to pay attention now, and it's almost too late. Like Baluta said, you know, we should have extension.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, maybe we'll take a five-minute coffee break. There's coffee over here, and we'll just take a five-minute break and then carry on. Did you get the name of the man who gave me these questions first?
I have the name written down.
Oh, fine. And who is the man who just... what's your name, sir? What's your name?
Alex Trifon.
Oh, right.
I belong to the Nondalton.
Yeah, right. But you're living right here now.
I live here.
We can start again.
Hey, my name is Andrew Wesley. Mm-hmm. I got some... what I got in front of me is a summary of a trespass study. I just got it from over in the office, and there's a lot of things that were discussed about trespassing. But Yelena was talking about there's seven types of trespasses, which is number one is easement trespass, two, trespass off of navigable water, three, recreational trespass and unauthorized. Four, use and occupancy. 5, geological and geographic trespass. 7, trespass on native allotment. 8, shore fisheries trespass. And those are the 7 trespasses. Like in the summertime, everybody else complains. There's a lot of sports fishermen that come, they don't know where they're going. They get off the plane, they come out here, and then they start walking on your land. And I think we need to talk about these trespasses, how to, and who enforces trespassing. And then B, significant problem concerning law enforcement and prosecuting relative trespasses. 1, jurisdiction who is responsible for trespassing enforcement. 2, lack of survey. Difficulty with identifying existing location of private lands and easements. 3, posting of land. Existing posting required to strengthen excessive burdensome. And 4, trespassing status. The casual trespassing or unauthorized use. These are some of the things we should, you know, for us that have native allotment, should try to look into without, you know, everywhere you look, you see no trespassing here, no trespassing there, no cutting trees here. But who enforce them? And if you guys want to look at these trespassing studies, I'll just leave it up here. You guys can look at them. Thank you.
Could I just ask you, Mr. Wassily, if you could tell us anything about the state of affairs following the merger of the New Halen Village Corporation with Alaska Peninsula. What has the impact been on the transfer of lands under Section 14C3? Are you familiar with that?
Just run on. But when they asked us to merge, I think it that was before we had the office down here. There's a couple of people from down in Bristol Bay Area came up and asked if we wanted to merge with Alaska Peninsula, and they told us we'd get some money from that Alaska Peninsula, but I don't see nobody here representing Alaska Peninsula. And I was wondering how we can get out of that situation we're in right now. It's pretty hard to explain what's happening to Alaska Peninsula. I don't see nobody representing Alaska Peninsula. And how would we go about getting away from Alaska Peninsula and going back to our own New Halen Corporation?
Mm-hmm.
Is there any way we can try and get away from?
Well, the trouble is I take it you had a vote of shareholders when you decided to merge, and it would take a vote of shareholders to restore your old corporation, and you have the problem that now the new body of shareholders is. I take it you're a minority in this new body of shareholders, so it's a real problem. It would be difficult. And I take it that at the time nothing was done to... all this happened 2 or 3 years ago and nothing's been done about it.
Hadn't been done, and they were promised that if they vote to merge with Alaska Peninsula, they would get so much amount of dollars, and we haven't seen that yet neither. So it's pretty hard what's happening down there.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like really a dispute where it would be up to you to, you shareholders here, to decide whether to take legal action. And since the new merged corporation controls the treasury, I guess that's a real problem. I really can't advise you. I think that's a question you have to decide for yourselves. You'd have to get legal advice, I think.
Okay. Another thing I'd like to talk about is that hydroelectric, that there, I think it's on the hydroelectric development up in the New Haven River. I think in the future it's going to be a big concern for New Haven, city of New Haven, because this Lake Eliam area is just one big spawning ground for salmon going upstream, and after they spawn and they got to go downstream, and we don't even know who to go to, but the land, whose land it belonged to, and Alaska Peninsula is not here to represent us, and we're just on a standstill here. So,
but where is the where would that project be?
It'll be right up here, about 7-8 miles up.
Well, normally hydroelectric project can't go ahead without public hearings. So.
Yeah, but I think they did a feasible study on it, so mm-hmm. I think it's in a feasible study. Yeah.
Did you want to add something about that?
Yeah, I was going to just have a little input on what Andrew had saying there about hydro. There have been some hearings and studies done here on New Haven and Tazeman River, and I think New Haven was chosen number one and Tazeman the two, and across by Big Mountain there was three. There have been some public hearings on this hydroelectric, what he's talking about. They're talking about Renton River. And also I want to make some comments about Alaska Peninsula Corporation merging with New Haven. And I guess, since I'm not involved with New Haven Native Corporation, but I live down here and I'm very interested because I haven't got title to my land under 14C3 under the 1,280 acres for the city. It hasn't been deeded over yet. And all of us just living here in New Haven are, right now, are worried and wondering when are we going to get title to our lands here in New Haven, our own homes. And I think it's very important that the city council do ask Alaska Peninsula Corporation to start working on this, or, you know, we're going to have to go to court to try to get our lands. And the city is entitled to this 1,280 acres under the ANSCA Act.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting aspect of a merger that nobody that hasn't come up at any other meeting before. That is, when you merge, you don't necessarily have control of your land anymore. And if you haven't even had the conveyances under 14C, you have no way of it's more difficult to get a merged corporation to comply with 14C than a local corporation.
Well, I think they did work on the 14C3s, but I think the city got to get their first shot at the 1,280 acres. Then after that's turned over to the city, then the city is going to have to turn around, reconvey that back to the residents under mm-hmm. the 14C for the cities, and which hasn't happened yet. And we've been waiting since the mergers. And I think if the people of New Haven are dissatisfied with the merger, for myself, I would, you know, if that were my corporation, I would start a petition at least get 51% of my shareholders and go to the next shareholders meeting, present and say we'd like to get out of it, or like you advised, get a legal counsel to try to get out of this. I'm sure they're going to take some action then, and I'm sure you would get Peninsula Corporation's attention.
Anything else? Thank you.
Mike Treffery and I belong to BBNC and Dalton Tribal, Village Corporation, and I'd like to ask you a couple of questions.
Sure.
If I was to sell my stock for my corporation, could I buy it back, or was to inherit some, would I still have the same voting rights and dividends as I do right now?
Yeah, let's do that again, and just let's stop at the first one. What was the first one again? Sorry.
If I was to sell my stock from my corporation, could I buy it back?
Not necessarily. Right now, you can't sell your stock to your corporation.
I mean, in 1991.
If there's a buyback provision in 1991, that is, if you sell your shares to your corporation, if that is allowed, see, right now, under the law, right now, your corporation could pass a resolution that would give it right of first refusal, so that if in 1991 somebody from a big oil company came here and offered you $1,000 for your shares, BBNC or Nundalton or whatever it is you belong to, you couldn't sell your shares until they had exercised their right to match that offer. In other words, if you get an offer for $1,000, you have to go to BBNC or Nundalton and say, okay, I've been made this offer, but you get the right to buy my shares first. Now, that could be done now, right now, as the law stands. But the problem is that most of these corporations wouldn't have the money to match that kind of an offer from a big company if they went to all the shareholders and said, we'll give you so much. But one of the suggestions the AFN has made is that your corporation should have the right to make an offer to you to buy your shares between now and 1991. And that's an idea that might work if they gave you the right to buy your shares back. But you know, people who are going to sell their shares in the first place are people who need the cash, and otherwise they wouldn't be selling. And saying that if you had the right to buy your shares back, is it likely that you ever would? Some of the men here have made have mentioned limited entry. You know, it seems to me it would be like limited entry. You'd sell your shares, but would you ever accumulate the money to buy them back? If you were capable of accumulating the money to buy them back, you probably wouldn't have needed to sell them in the first place. I don't know whether I'm making sense, but I don't think that giving people the right to buy their shares back from the corporation, once they've sold them to the corporation, I don't think that's necessarily going to work, because if you sell them, it's because you need the cash. You need the cash to pay some debts or to buy something. When are you going to accumulate the cash to buy the shares back again?
Let's say like you make 100,000 in the stock market, you invested your stock in it.
Okay, well, sure, okay. Well, yeah. If that's what you're going to do, then there's nothing to worry about.
There's always if. Okay,
And there was a second question in there. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think once you sold your shares, you got to realize that you're selling your part of your land away. And this has got to be taken into consideration. Every shareholder, the reason we have 250-some shareholders, the street, we've got that 115,000 acres of land. And every time somebody sells their share, the acreage go down. The more people sell their shares, the land gets smaller and smaller until you don't have no more land. You could even go back behind an adult outside the city limits to chop wood because you'd be trespassing on somebody else's land. If everyone sold their shares, you couldn't even go get your own firewood. So this got to be realized. You couldn't even go hunting. Once people start selling their shares, that's what's going to happen. If all 250 some people sold their shares on Dalton, all they're going to have is just the city limits, what they got under the ANSCA Act, 14C land. Other than that, they'll be trespassing. And people got to start thinking about that.
Hey, thanks. You had another question.
What if I was to inherit some, would it still apply?
Oh, if you inherit shares, well, you get them for nothing.
But, like with stock alienation, if you inherit some, you don't have the same voting rights.
If you inherit shares, you get the right to vote those shares. When you're 18.
Okay. If my children inherit my stock, would they have the same rights as I do? Basically the same question.
Yes, if your children are one quarter native and they get the same rights as you do. If your children are categorized as non-native, then they can't vote the shares, but they still get the dividends.
Okay. Why can't we borrow money on our stock?
Well, you can't because it's illegal. Under the ANCSA Act, it's illegal to use that stock as collateral. And it would be illegal for a bank or anybody to say, give us your shares and we'll give you a loan. They can't do that. That stock can't be alienated in any way, except that you can leave it to your children when you die.
Why didn't they say you could borrow, money from your stock if you borrowed it from the corporation itself? That way if, they do lose their stock, the corporation still retains the stock.
Okay, well, you've raised an interesting point. Maybe I could say something about this, because it comes up a lot of places. You're saying, well, why couldn't Congress at least have allowed us to borrow money from the corporation and let them keep the stock as collateral? And you were saying earlier, well, what about selling shares to my own corporation? Well, if you were to do that, that means that, let's suppose half the people in the village sold their shares back to the corporation. They got the money, they spent it. That means that half the people in the village have sold their shares, half have kept their shares. And the people that kept their shares, that didn't sell them, now control the corporation. And they may say, look, Why should we let the non-shareholders use our land? They've gone and sold their shares. They've got the money, they've spent it, and to heck with them. I'm not suggesting that would necessarily happen, but it's you get a division in a village between the people who've sold their shares back to the corporation and the people still in the corporation who didn't sell. And the people left in the corporation control the corporation. And if there's just a few of them left, there's a kind of a temptation to say, well, this is our corporation now, and we'll call the shots, and we'll do this, and we'll do that. You're going to have to make up your minds about what it is you're trying to do here. Let's suppose you've got a village with 200 people. There's a provision you can sell your shares back to the corporation. Let's suppose 180 people sell their shares back. It's a tough winter, and they need the money. So they sell the shares back to the corporation. The corporation is then owned by the 20 people that are left. It's their corporation. And they might say, well, we now own all this land. We own, if it was Nundalton, we own Keys Point or whatever it is, where they're going to make all this money someday in the future. And they say it's all ours now. And you have to decide, what is it you're trying to do here? You're trying to have a setup where everybody has an equal share, equal participation. I know it's difficult, but selling the shares back to the corporations has some features that you should think about. Anyway, you've got some more questions there.
If 51% or more of stock in any corporation was sold, would it still remain the same, like same benefits, same restrictions?
Well, you can't sell it now. After 1991, if there are no changes made in the legislation, if the 51% of the stock is sold in, let's say, Nundalton Corporation or Iliamna Corporation, then whoever owns that 51%, whoever bought it up, would own the corporation and would own the land, and the people who still have shares might get whatever dividends the new owners decided to pay, but everybody could be excluded from the land. Because you see, the land belongs to the corporation. And you should keep in mind that if somebody from Anchorage, and we just use that as an example, somebody from Anchorage comes in and buys 51% of the shares in Nundalton or Iliamna, winds up owning and controlling the corporation, then he could decide that he wouldn't pay any more dividends to the shareholders, so the people who still had shares wouldn't get any money, and he could decide that even the people who still kept their shares, who hadn't sold, couldn't hunt on the land, couldn't go on for firewood, because a corporation can exclude its own shareholders from going on the land. I mean, Nundalton could, if it wanted to, put up no trespassing signs and keep its own shareholders off its land. Now, it doesn't do that because it's trying to serve those shareholders, but if somebody from Anchorage, or I don't care where, from Bristol Bay or Bethel, came in and bought 51% of the shares in the corporation, he could then put up no trespassing signs over all the corporation land, and even the people who hadn't sold their shares would have to stay off the land. That's the way the corporate setup is arranged.
In the villages you have been to, what are the feelings of other Alaska Natives on Sudbury? Are they satisfied and dissatisfied with the way Inks is coming about?
Well, in just about every village we've been to, the people are unhappy with Inks. And in many villages, they're intensely dissatisfied. The the only village we heard about where people were happy about it was one village in southeast Alaska where there's about 100 shareholders, and they had some timber, and they sold the timber, and every shareholder got about $25,000 in cash, and they put the rest of the money in the bank, and now they pay $10,000 a year to every shareholder. And so they're happy there. Well, that's one in 200. Now, you know, in some places, the corporations have worked very hard, and they've provided some jobs for some of the people. And there, the people are happy with the corporation. They're still worried about 1991. Don't want to lose the land, but they think the corporation has tried and has given the people some jobs. In a lot of other places, they're pretty unhappy. The corporation hasn't worked out because it couldn't. There's lots of places in Alaska where it's hard to get any business going. You know, that in some of these areas that are way out in the bush, there is really no economic opportunities for corporations. And so they've lost a lot of money, and everybody's is pretty fed up.
What are some of the things that they're unhappy about or would like to change?
Well, the main thing is, I guess, that they thought, when they heard about it, that ANCSA was a land claim settlement. And when you settle something, you think it's settled. They thought, well, here we got our 44 million acres. Well, that's settled. Then a few years later, they are told, well, it isn't really settled because you could lose it all in 1991. You just got a chance to look after it for 20 years, and then you lose it all. And so that is the biggest thing that's the biggest thing people are upset about. They're upset about the fact that children were left out. They're upset about the fact that the corporations were Wassily Bluti was saying, corporations were set up, and in many villages the people really didn't know how to run them, had no experience, and they think that wasn't really fair, that because they lost a lot of money, so they're pretty fed up about that too.
Okay, there's just one more thing I'd like to say. I too believe that we need more time to fully prepare for the issues that face us in 1991, especially more time to educate our people to help succeed in protecting our lands. I would like to see more younger people get involved in ANCSA and in their corporations and have some input in our corporation and in the decision-making process. This is the first time I ever had the chance to ask questions about my regional corporation and my village corporation. Makes me feel like I'm not a real part of the corporation. I would like to thank you for the opportunity to voice my opinion. At least I know somebody's listening.
Thank you. That's good questions. Yes. Well, we're told that the elders are having lunch here at 11:30 tomorrow, so we're going to try to have a session for the elders, a hearing for the elders tomorrow at 11:30 with a translator. I just mentioned that, and we'll carry on after lunch tomorrow, around 12:30 or thereabouts. We're not through tonight. I just mentioned that, so I won't. So you'll remember it. Anybody else want to come up here, or do you want Mary to come around with that mic? Okay, let's just bring the mic over to you, Mr. Wesley.
Thank you. I'd like to get back on that merging. Like I spoke about it earlier, and that one time when they asked us to merge, they asked on Dalton to merge with the peninsula, but we considered it and we thought it was wrong, so we didn't merge with them. Personally, if Nundalton want to merge with anyone, my own feeling that if Nundalton is going to merge with any corporate, anyone, I would like to see, I'd rather have a New Haven, merge with New Haven, because we're close neighbors, and our land is almost overlapped, and we've known each other for years, way back from the great-grandfather, I guess. And that's the only one we could merge with. And nothing but this hydroelectric. They want to make the hydroelectric in Tazimne, right across from Nundalton, where the river come out. They make, they surveyed there. They made feasible study all summer. But we were we start considering that too. And we found that that isn't going to work. That's going to be a lot of impact on the fish and trouts, a lot of trouts and rainbows and everything in that river. So we thought it was going to be too much. Make a funnel through the point where the salmon's going to go through. But what comes down through that place, there are going to be some smolts going through, destroying the smolts. And the fingerlings, you know, same thing. And I think, and it's going to be, it's not going to be an overnight project. It's going to take years. So I think that had to be considered more. I don't know what other corporation think. And there are going to be a lot of people have to maintain the project and stuff. And I don't think it will work out for our spawning salmon. That's all.
Thank you.
Can you take the page back to Congress and have them rewrite it?
Sorry, I couldn't hear that.
Can you take the page and take it back to Congress and have them rewrite it?
Yes, sure. But you have to decide for yourselves what kind of changes you want. Sure, anybody can go back to Congress and ask them to rewrite a law. ANCSA has been changed already, at least three times since 1971. They discovered they'd made mistakes and corrected them. But this time you'd be going and asking them for a pretty major change. But I think it Of course, every law can be rewritten. Anyone else like to say anything?
Henry Nealon from New Haven. Got a few questions to ask. Is it, since we're merging with Alaska Peninsula, there was only one guy representing for Alaska Peninsula. Is it legal for him to go around the village and ask for some people to merge in with Alaska Peninsula? Only one representative from the peninsula there?
You mean only one representative from the peninsula
Alaska
or New Haven?
The corporation there.
Well, that would depend on what he was saying and whether it was true or not, whether he made false representations, that kind of thing.
Since we merged in with Alaska Peninsula Corporation, they said they'd give us 90 days. And if we dislike it within 90 days, they'd let us out. But we didn't want to merge in with them within 90 days. We wrote out a petition and a letter to them saying that we wanted to be out, and the Alaska Peninsula Corporation said we could not do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know if it was a good part or a good thing, like you said, to merge in with a corporation. And my question is, did they do the illegal thing?
Well,
the whole, instead of one person going around, they should have somebody, the whole board there to explain the merger with the people there.
Well, you'd have to, as I told Mr. Bluti, you'd really have to consult a lawyer about that and tell him exactly what was said and if any promises were made that weren't kept, what the promises were and how they failed to keep them. And but, you know, there was a recent case on the Kodiak region where they... courts laid down the law about what representations could be made in, to get people to go along with a merger. But you'd really have to see a lawyer about that, because I don't know enough about who said what. Or
yeah. I'm pretty sure there might have been more than one. They went through more than one village, and they said the same thing to them, and I'm pretty sure that's how it go about.
Yeah. Well, that's something that you you must have a couple hundred people here in New Haven who are shareholders in Alaska Peninsula. You'd have to get together and decide what you're going to do about it. And I think you'd have to get the advice of a lawyer to decide what you could do. But from my point of view, I'm interested because this is a, in some cases, villages have merged. And most of the time they seem to have thought it was a good idea. So I'm interested here because you say that your merger is not something you're happy about.
And right now we're on a blank site and blind side. We don't even know what's going on or
mm-hmm.
what what they, you know, they should be going around to each village and talk to them what's really happening.
Yeah. Was this in 1981 it happened?
I forgot.
Yeah.
Somewhere around there.
But apart from signing that petition at the time, there was nothing else that you people did about it.
They the way in their words, they said they let us have 90 days. If we don't disapprove, if we don't approve, approve of it, we could get out within 90 days. We tried it, and they said that we couldn't do it.
Yeah, but then after that, you haven't done anything about it since.
Well, we tried, but we haven't tried that hard to even get out. And like you said, we talked to the lawyer, and it cost quite a bit of money to even get out the corporation like that.
Yeah, I know. That's the... See, one of the things that ANCSA has done is that it's... meant that there have been hundreds of lawsuits over mergers and 14C and 7I and everything else. It cost people a lot of money. Well, I'm sorry, I can't, if you've already seen a lawyer about that, then I no doubt you'll be guided by him. Well, what did he tell you? That it would cost a lot of money to stop it?
Yeah.
Did he say it could be stopped, though? Or do you remember?
I don't quite remember.
Yeah.
Also, I like to put another input on, since land claim started, there are some people that are being left out for allotments, and they've been denied on it. There were some people that were going to school, and they weren't aware of it, and some at the service at the time. And people that came back wanted land, and they tried for it, and they were denied. Could you bring up a question for?
Yeah, if you want that brought up, I will. That's been raised in a lot of places about the people that were away in Vietnam or someplace and never did get a chance to apply. They missed out on, some of them missed out on limited entry, too.
Yes.
But Congress said... no allotments after 1971.
But and, these people that have been left out, they should have a second chance at
it. Yeah, I have the point. I understand. I think that's a point that's been raised often enough that it should be brought up.
He raised a really good question. What's a chance of maybe having something like that happen? Yeah.
Well,
Is it brim? Is it 50%? Is it, what do you think?
I don't know. We're all just guessing about that. But is it a good point? Is it unfair that people who were away at school or at the war should have missed out on allotments? I think it would be very hard to get allotments opened up again, because they said in 1971 no more allotments, but if they were to open them up at all, I suppose the best chance would be to open them up for the people that were at war and missed out, maybe for the people who were at school, but it would be very hard, because they obviously didn't want any more allotments after 1971.
So it's real slim. The chance is real slim.
I don't know. You decide for yourself.
How about if the people that are left out and like you said, the government would they let them out? Is there a possible chance if they get together, like if you know they could sue the government?
No, because Congress has the right to pass laws, and you can't sue them for passing a law unless it's unconstitutional.
Well, it's unconstitutionally being denied and stuff, for they weren't even aware of what's going on.
Yeah, well, I think that you'll find that that point has already been considered by lawyers, and that there's nothing in it. I mean, I don't think I should get your hopes up about that.
Yeah. I was just wondering.
Okay. Wasn't much help to you, I'm afraid.
Whatever. I wonder what the advantages of that would be. Seems to me like it would just be prolonging a decision, a problem, you know.
Well, you've got a point.
There have to be good advantages to it, I know, but it seems to me, I wonder what the advantages would be to prolong.
Well, if you prolong it for another 20 years, you, without doing anything about the newborns, you just get another, by the end of another 20 years, the newborns are going to be 40 years old without chairs. And after 40 years, they still have to face the question, what are we going to do about all this? Yeah, that's... Now, Mr. Bluti was saying, well, maybe after 40 years, these corporations would all be going good and...
Well, it'd be better management, I think, is what he was looking for.
Yeah. Well...
Before, we didn't know anything about corporations, and I think to prolong it 20 years, we would, because we have more knowledge of it, a better management would...
We'd sooner or later come back.
Yeah, well, that's an idea.
Also, that you were talking about native allotments. I think there's a case before, there's a lawsuit on the Fannie Bar suit. Mm-hmm. People that applied for native allotments could fall under the Fannie Bar suit. And if they think they applied and somebody lost the records, they couldn't find it, then they can go under the Fannie Bar lawsuit to get their native allotments.
Yeah, but you'd have to
prove.
I mean, the case that we had over here was someone's actually away out of the country or at school and never did apply. Pretty hard to turn around and say, well, I really did apply, they just lost the records. But yes, I heard about that case, but that's, and that some of the folks who applied and never heard anything more about it.
Well, they applied, but I think BIA or the BLM lost their records.
Yeah.
But there's so many people applied and they couldn't keep track of the records, and they never heard about their allotments, and they've been asked, and then they consulted an attorney, and they call what they call a Fannie Bar lawsuit, right? And they can fall underneath that and still get their entitlement if they can prove that they applied.
Exactly. Prove
that they applied. Mm-hmm. About allotment, I think the main agency to go to is the BIA. I guess everybody knows Charlie Bunch. He's head of that. And if you call him to a village, he'll come anytime. You could speak to him about this allotment. That's what we did in Dalton. And I had, they denied my allotment so many times. Because the BIA will tell you one thing, then the BLM will tell you another thing, and the state will tell you another thing. You don't know who to believe. So I went to Anchorage and I met with these people. And he said the BLM is going to survey, I mean, not survey, but, you know, mark the lands. And what they want to see is they want occupancy in your allotment. You got to have a fire pit and cabin or tent frame or fish rack or something. Well, if they don't see that one, they deny you right now. I didn't have anything in my land, and I've been fighting for that. I told them I had trails. Well, I had fire pit and stuff there. So one day a helicopter picked me up in Lake Clark while I was camping, and he took me to my land. Well, they said, we see you don't have nothing. Well, I got fire pit, and I got trails, there's bear trails all over the place. See my trails? Yeah, I said, you used a lot. You got trails, that means I pick berries, trap and everything. That's an ox. And there were a lot of salmon in the beach there, clear water. They got enough fish here to live on all winter. And then I went to see Charlie Bunch. Right shortly after that, they approved my allotment. And I got my 160 acres. Last summer, they surveyed out. Now all I have to do is build a cabin. You have to, if you don't say anything, they just, you know, they'll bribe you and bribe you.
Well, that's good advice, I'm sure, to the others who are concerned.
I'd just like to ask, you know, how many people are, just kind of take a survey for myself and also probably for the commission, how many people are here do really understand the ANSCA Act since 1971? How many people?
What kind of act?
The Land Claims Act. Oh. How many people do understand the whole thing? Be our next president, I think. Okay. How many people here are satisfied with the Land Claims Act? One. How many are dissatisfied with the Land Claims Act? Okay. How many are undecided?
It just came up too soon for me. All of a sudden there was corporations and I wasn't here. I missed out.
Well, I think this, the feeling of every village in the whole state of Alaska, because they're either undecided or misinformed or don't have enough information. It's very important, you know, because even myself, I'm the president of my corporation, it's hard to get information out. And every time you send a newsletter out, people wouldn't read them. They put them somewhere on the shelf and forget about it. And you're just wasting a lot of paper. And they don't go to meetings, you hold meetings. You get very few turnouts. And it costs too much to have radio coverage, TV coverage just for the corporations to get information out. And if we just could find some kind of mechanism to get people interested in their own affairs, you know, for myself, I would glad to hear, you know, from someone how we can get messages out to the people.
Meetings like this.
So this is a hearing, and there's meetings going on, even annual meetings, like we hold our annual meeting in Dalton, we ask for input from the people, and you get negative. But the minute the meeting's over with, you hear all kinds of things, which is wrong. You gotta voice your opinion on every meeting.
You got to stand up and speak your piece, whether it's wrong or right. And I'm sure every corporation is like that, and also the village council and the traditional council, they got the same powers. You got to voice your opinion before you get anything done. But there's got to be some kind of mechanism where you get people interested. It's pretty hard. You know, you can talk till you get blue in the face, and if you don't get no response, well, you might be talking at a wall.
Well, anyone else like to say anything tonight? We'll be meeting again tomorrow. But, got a little time left tonight. Well, I just want to thank you for coming tonight then, and I think it's been a good discussion, and I've learned something about the impact of ANCSA here, and we'll be meeting again tomorrow at 11:30 with the elders, and then after that at 12:30 or 1 o'clock we'll start in again, and we'll carry on for a little while in the afternoon till anyone else who wants to speak has had an opportunity to be heard. So we'll adjourn now, and we'll see you again maybe, I hope, tomorrow at about 12:30 or 1 o'clock. So thanks again for coming. Thanks. Came in handy. Oh, good. That's the list, eh? Yeah, of everybody that spoke.